Are we ready to party? Are we ready to party?
Yeah.
I only hear one voice. That's Sam's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check, check. There we go. Got to write the checks before you can have the power. Check, check. Mr. Sandin, welcome back.
Yes, yes.
So good to see you. We know you've been through a lot, and you've overcome through the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's worth celebrating.
My surgeons say that too.
Oh, is that right? Sweet.
When I met my first surgeon, who did the colon surgery, she's being very professional and she's tired. She thought all things were back. Well, I've had symptoms of this and that. And so it's been here the whole time. We just found it. And she goes, well, that's a very enlightened way of looking at it. I said, besides, God's got this. And her face lit up and her whole demeanor changed. And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, that's right. Because I don't heal anything. All I do is cut out bad stuff.
That's right.
God does all the
good. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Could we turn down some lights maybe? Because, you know, I like to see the sun, but I don't like to burn it in my eyes. So, yeah, I know. Great. Thank you. I'd love to be joyful if I could see everybody. They're back there, but then, you know, one thing leads to another, Sandin. You know what I'm saying? You know? Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, neither do I. All right. So I had a discussion with my good friend neighbor, and he said, how long is your message today? I said, oh, it's only 6 pages long. 6 pages. Six. So I pulled him out. And, of course, you know, him being analytical, he says, well, technically, that's only 3. I said, yeah, but there's 2 sides. 2 times 3 is 6. So that debate will carry on the next time he comes over to my house. We also have on the sound booth ledge there are the new Torah portions for this year, 5784, moving right along. Does it seem like it's going fast? It seems like we were just here doing Sukkot, and here we are doing it again. So how can someone not love Sukkot? How many people in here like to eat? Come on, Joe. Please, pick it up. How many in here like to eat? 2 hands. All right, great. You got what? You got pudding? Oh, go get it. Bring it in here. Yeah, we all gain a little fluff when we love to eat. But we also love to be in the presence of Adonai, looking up at his wonderful handiwork. And then once we finish eating, we look out at all of our handiwork, his handiwork, and we celebrate. It's a shame it's only one time a year. You know, we should maybe do one in the summer or post-spring. So again, these are at the back counter. You can pick one up. And, wow. Wow. Where do I start?
First page.
Good. Thank you. In the beginning. Can we break out of Torah and we'll start in Genesis? But we'll do that next Shabbat. So, family, this is the way it should be with the Feast of Jehovah. How poignant that many of us are still discovering the treasure left for us in these appointed times. And how sad that for some of us, our life experiences have not added sounds and smells and tastes to the commandments regarding God's appointments with his people. You know, we gotta bask in his beauty, bask in his, there's a certain aroma to the feast days. They're not just bland days for us. They're days that we, some look forward to them and some don't. Some of us who like food don't look forward to Yom Kippur, but we do it anyway out of obedience and we sacrifice and afflict our souls. And then we remember the lessons we learned on the message from Monday, that it's not just about us. So I was raised in a traditional mixed religious home. That being said, we weren't religious. My mom was Catholic and my dad was Baptist, and you figure that out. So we missed a lot of things that we should have been educated in. And unfortunately, in some denominations, they don't teach any of this. None of it. They just give you what they want to give you. Like in the back in the old, the beginning of how I came to understand one of those two faiths is that they don't let you read the scriptures. They present them to you. So in a sense, they put a fence around it. Just like some other people that we know. And God's not about fences. He's about tearing down walls. He's tearing down walls of injustice. He's tearing down walls of the blinded sights that are seen that can't see the Torah. He's tearing down fences that used to prevent us from going forth in his instructions, because we were told it was all legalism. And it doesn't account to the church today. But as we know, we're all sitting here because we don't believe that. We're sitting here because we believe that the Torah is for today just as much as it was for yesterday. And it's a lifestyle of living out the Torah and the feast days. It all comes together. So in our house, we celebrated the Feast of Man. But I wanted something different for my children and my grandchildren. I wanted them to know how to experience and adjust their lives to Jehovah's calendar and to his clock. I wanted to be natural for them, because it wasn't for me. The Almighty wants you to live these things out as if it was your second nature. There's no hesitation. There's no, well, is it for me or is it not for me? It's for you. And he wants us to walk out his Torah in our lives daily. So Sukkot seems to be firmly established in our life experience. It is as if we have always lived with its yearly reminder of the shadow of the pillar of cloud that sheltered us from the heat of the wilderness, and the bright pillar of fire that lit our joyous evenings when our beloved God led us as a new bride under his canopy of stars. And that's how you should look at the stars. He placed them there for us. And it's a thing of beauty. One of the problems is man turned it into a religion. If you have celebrated Sukkot with your family in a sukkah, then maybe you know what I'm talking about. It's the best of the best. Forget about best Western and think about best sukkah. Amen? Now, I've been in this movement for, well, since 95, somewhere around there. And I can tell you when Sukkot comes around when it's really hot in Florida, you kind of want to hesitate on hanging out in the heat under the sukkah. But our brothers and sisters in the land of Israel, back when they were exiled from Exodus, when God took them out, I guarantee you it was hot. I guarantee you. And then there were some sukkahs that it was pretty cold. Welcome to Florida. But it's still the best of the best. And as Sam would say, it's like camping. And we're not talking about hotel camping either. So it is the last of the 8 Moedim appointments, feast of Leviticus 23. It is one of 3 pilgrimage festivals called Shelosh Regalim, 3 pilgrimages in which the Jewish men were to go up to the temple in Jerusalem together as a nation. What starts with Shabbat and then Passover is culminated in Sukkot, which is itself a picture of a perpetual Shabbat. Think about it for a moment. Who cannot love a perpetual Shabbat? Can you imagine just staying Shabbatting forever? Just kind of hanging out. Yom Sekolo Shabbat, the day when all is Shabbat. This is what Sukkot is about. Remembering our beloved King's glory when we were in the wilderness and anticipating his glory in the world to come. For 7 days, we dwell in a sukkah, which are shelters that are partially open to the sky and some say to the east. We won't get technical. We enjoy the shade of the daytime and yet can see the stars through the openings in the roof. Our days are spent resting, praying, eating, and studying. And our nights are full of family time, singing and dancing, and weighty discussions. How many have been in some weighty discussions? Yeah. We do it as an obedience to the Creator of heaven and earth, and we do it in remembrance. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Jehovah your God, Leviticus 23:43. Now, we're going to get some input from the sages. The sages understood that the booths of the wilderness were metaphorically speaking of the cloud of glory that led us through the wilderness. Sukkot, booths, tabernacles, comes from the root word sakak, S-A-K-A-K, which means to cover, to shelter, or to protect. Psalms 105:39 makes this connection between Sukkot, booths, and the pillar of cloud and fire. He spread a cloud for a covering, a masak, from the same root word, sakak, and fire to give light at night. As usual, sages have given us an uncanny insight into the text. So let's imagine what a time that was. Jehovah dwelt in our midst. Is he here now? There in the center of the camp was the Mishkan. And above the Mishkan and spreading out over the camp was a cloud by day and a fire by night. There was his clear and unmistakable presence. He was our beloved King who had wooed us away from Egypt and the world and placed his love upon us, and who now shelters us beneath his cloud of glory. Isn't that awesome? We were once a people. Once. We are now his. This brings us full circle to the Yom Sekulah Shabbat idea. You see, this is the scene that will be present in the world to come in the Messianic age. Isaiah 42, 2 through 6. In that day, the branch of Jehovah shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who had escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When Jehovah has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then Jehovah will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For all the glory, there will be a covering, a huppah, and there will be a place of refuge and for shelter from storm and rain. The sukkah is more than just a temporary dwelling place. It is a shelter, a place of refuge, where you go in and you meet personally with the Almighty as you worship him, as you bring praise to him in that dwelling place. According to the prophet Zechariah, this holiday also has prophetic dimensions that is yet to be fulfilled. When Messiah returns and establishes kingdom, all the nations will be required to keep this holiday by coming up to Jerusalem to celebrate Sukkot. Zechariah 14, starting with verse 16. Then all the survivors from all the nations that attacked Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, Jehovah Zebaoth, and to celebrate Sukkot. Furthermore, if any of the nations of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Jehovah Zebaoth, they will have no rain. If the Egyptians do not go up and celebrate, they will have no rain. Instead, there will be the plague that Jehovah will inflict on the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of the nations that do not go up to celebrate Sukkot. In that day, holy to Jehovah will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, and the pots in the house of Jehovah will be like sacred bowls in front of the altar. In fact, every pot in Jerusalem and in Yehuda will be holy to Jehovah Tezavot, so that everyone who comes to sacrifice will take them and cook in them. And here's key. And in that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of Jehovah Tezavot. Some versions use a word merchant instead of Canaanite, but the majority of them use Canaanite. Isn't it interesting that this terminology is used? Because the powers and principalities of darkness will no longer have an influence on those who survived this final earthly war, Armageddon, and go up to the house of Jehovah of hosts. There will be no pagan gods. Because if you look up Canaanite gods, there's hundreds. And we're not to actually let any of their names cross our lips. But in that day, there will no longer be pagan gods anywhere near the house of Jehovah. In that day, Messiah Yeshua will become Israel's sukkah, tabernacle. His presence will shelter Israel, and she will no longer be oppressed by the nations. I think getting a little stuffy in here. Jacob, would you go ahead and take care of that for me? Yep.
Sorry I'm late, guys. Couldn't figure out what to wear.
How about Tu B'Shvat?
Or Flag Day? Is that even a day? How about Groundhog Day?
Guys. Sukkos.
Yeah.
All right, Sukkos it is. But what are people listening to these days?
Shake your palm frond, myrtle citron, and willow, and willow. Shake your palm frond, myrtle citron, and willow, and willow. Shake your lulav, 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 and it's row.
Up on Sukkos style. Sukkos style. Hop on Sukkos style. Sukkos style.
Let's do it again.
Do a video with a script and lines and stuff instead of just singing.
Sorry about the hum.
Okay, guys. So what's going to be our next big thing?
What holidays haven't we covered yet?
Sorry I'm late, guys. Couldn't figure out what to wear.
No. Well, we can't act.
So any other ideas?
Interpretive dance.
Classical music?
Rap? I think I got it. The Macameets have spent the last 2 years singing other people's music. Maybe it's finally time to write some of our own.
Should we do it again?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do it again. Let's run that video again. Sound?
No sound.
No sound. We'll just guess.
I'm late, guys. Couldn't figure out what to wear.
Louder.
How about Tu B'Shvat?
Or Flag Day. Is that even a day? How about Groundhog Day?
Guys. Sukkos.
All right, Sukkos it is. But what are people listening to these days?
Shake your palm frond, myrtle citron, and willow, and willow. Shake your palm frond.
Wow, look at all these unhappy people.
And willow, and willow.
Come on now.
Shake your lulav, 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 and it's row.
Up on Sukkos style. Sukkos style. Hop on Sukkos style. Sukkos style.
Simchas Torah.
Hop on Sukkos style.
Simchas Torah.
Yeah. Okay, you can kill it. Okay, so now that I've broken every rule, yeah, the dress part's kind of scary, but, you know, we got to have a party. We're going to have a party. We're having a party. Amen? How many here are just for the food? It's all right. Praise the Almighty. So other days of the holiday are called Chol Hamoed, weekdays of the festival or intermediate period. During these days, the workload is reduced. For real. And there in Israel, many people take the week off as vacation. Yippers. The kids don't go to school. Mom and dad don't stay home because they're visiting sukkah to sukkah, like you said, right? Yeah. After the somber, introspective time of Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot is a joyous celebration of renewed relationship with the Father following the atonement of sin. Hallelujah. During this festival season, we recall how God's faithfulness provided for our ancestors as they wandered in the Sinai desert wilderness for 40 years before entering the promised land of Israel. What happened to them for 40 years? Besides wandering. I mean, we do that a lot around here. It was a big camping trip, right? 40 years worth. But they were protected. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. Somebody was doing some laundry for a long time. So then there's also the water libation ceremony. With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation, Isaiah 12:3. In temple times, a special water libation offering ceremony took place daily during Sukkot. Every day the priest, along with the procession, would go down to the pool of Shalom, which was fed by the Gihon Spring, the original source of Jerusalem's water. At the pool of natural running water, they would fill the golden flask. Then the water was brought back to the altar in the temple to accompany the morning sacrifice. This pouring of the water on the altar is called Nishcha Mayim, water libation ceremony. Literally, pouring of the water. This water offering was not only celebrates the hope of winter rains in Israel, but also symbolizes the future messianic redemption when the Spirit of God, symbolized by the water, is poured out upon the nation of Israel. And we pray for that daily. Right. Yeshua, on the final day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, I wash my hands in purity and circle around your altar, O Lord. Psalms 26:6. The seventh and final day of Sukkot, called Hoshana Rabbah, the Great Salvation, is marked by special synagogue services. In commemoration of the priests circling the altar with palm branches in their hands once every day of Sukkot, and seven times on the seventh day, and on this day, seven Hashanot circuits are made around the synagogue. On this final day of Sukkot, probably during the water ceremony, Yeshua stood up and proclaimed himself to be the source of living water. I am the well of the living water. Those who thirst, come to me, and I will fill them up. He invited all who were thirsty to come and drink the water representing the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Yeshua stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water shall flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. John chapter 7, 37 through 39. Sukkot in the end times, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Zechariah 14:2. Sukkot also has a connection to the last days and the New Jerusalem. The Haftorah prophetic portion of Scripture that is read for this holiday contains a graphic apocalyptic vision of the destruction of all the nations that will attack Jerusalem. The judgment on the nations is characterized by earthquakes, plagues, heavy darkness, signs of nuclear destruction, all manifesting God's personal intervention on behalf of Israel. Are we seeing any of this today?
No, sir, not
Nope.
Coming.
It's coming. The eyes of the world will be opened, and all the nations will see that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Woe to those who dare to touch her. And if you're following any of the news trends, you know that what a former president put in place is being dismantled. Where they were once a pact of peace is going to turn into violence. And we must continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, even those who are here. Anti-Semitism is on the rise quickly. The narrative is not a friendly narrative. But that shouldn't be on the forefront of our minds today. What should be on the forefront is that our God will protect us, our God will feed us, our God will clothe us, our God will direct our steps if we're willing to follow. What can man do to us? Nothing. But they'll try. They will try. But they'll have to break into a party if they plan on doing that today. Because we're going to party. The Lord declares through the prophet Zechariah, it will happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdenstone for all the peoples. All who burden themselves with it will be severely wounded. In those days, all nations will be required to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. Those who refuse will be cursed with the lack of rain. While many Christians believe that God's Moedim has been abolished, Zechariah's messianic prophecy clearly indicates that this is not so. Revelation 21:3. Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people. And he will dwell, or tabernacle, with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Amen? Amen. That's it. Told you it'd be early. Questions? Okay.